Well, with us now is the Police Commissioner, Andrew Costa. Morena. Commissioner, can you hear me okay?
I can. Good morning.
Good morning. Your reaction to this, obviously, you described it as relief yesterday.
Absolutely. To see, I suppose, this conclusion reached is a huge relief for the organisation and obviously particularly for those involved. Really acknowledge the courage of Matthew's family to sit through the evidence, which was harrowing, and also Constable Goldfinch, who gave such courageous and professional evidence. It was great to see, and a relief for them too.
And compounded, I guess, a little bit by the way in which the verdict was reached. It was a majority, and it took a little bit of extra time.
It did. It's not unusual for juries to think quite carefully about whether the offence alleged has been committed, and that's a good thing. It's a part of our justice system, but of course, a relief when those verdicts came back.
For police officers around the country, with a trial like this, does it put them under added stress and strain?
Look, without a doubt, I think seeing the details of this played out over a period of a couple of weeks is incredibly difficult for the whole organisation. It was a massive impact when we lost Matt, but then to have it replayed again in that detail is really hard, and naturally makes people feel uneasy, unsafe.
It also, of course, raises the issue again about things such as arming of the police, the debate about the safety of police officers. Just give us another sense of where you are at with your thinking as the police commissioner on this issue. You still don't believe police need to be carrying sidearms.
Look, safety of the front line is top of mind for me and for the police executive, and when we think about safety, we look at it in the broadest terms. You know, what are the whole system settings that are going to make our people as safe as possible? It's tempting to want to reach for a single solution that would be the magic wand. I'm pretty clear that general arming is not that magic wand. If we look internationally, there's no jurisdiction you would point to go, you know, they're so much safer than us because they carry firearms. We have a very unique style of policing in New Zealand, which sees us enjoy good relationships with the community, and that adds to our safety overall. So whilst you can point to individual instances where having a firearm might make a difference, actually in the round we are safe because of the way we police.
What is the latest statistics, though? We're seeing in the media certainly a lot of high-profile cases involving firearms, some alarming incidents. There's been quite a spate in the last month or two. Is that actually reflected in all the statistics? Are we seeing an increase in gun violence?
The raw data doesn't tell the story like you would feel it might be from the incidents we're seeing. But I think what's unique about what we're seeing is the level of violence and the escalation and willingness of certain groups to use firearms. Generally on each other in the gang context, and occasionally turning those towards police. So that is a concern, and we're certainly very focused on getting the firearms out of the hands of those people and focusing on those groups that are doing it.
So it is gangs that are the major problem?
They are the majority part of it, but then we've had some very significant incidents in the last couple of weeks that weren't gang-related. The incident in Auckland where there were multiple carjackings, that was not gang-related. So it's not only gangs, it ties back to mental health problems, drug problems, and then mixing the access to firearms and all of that.
Have the gun legislation changes not made any significant difference yet?
They have made a very big difference in our ability to get the right controls in place, but the reality is we have had a lax gun environment for a long time, and it's going to take some time to tighten up, remove firearms that are in the illegitimate sort of fleet. And so the tools are there now for us to do that. You can no longer go and buy the kind of firearm that was used to kill Matthew Hunt, but it will take some time for us to see the benefits of that.
So you talk about the gang violence, and obviously opposition parties in New Zealand are keen to see and have been pushing this issue hard. They want to see more action on gangs. I know you have programs in place, but does the police simply need to be putting more focus, more effort, more teams, more money into the gang issue?
We are more focused on gangs than we have ever been, and that's reflected in the number of asset seizures, prosecutions, firearm seizures that you're seeing. So it's not for lack of focus. We have had a very unfortunate escalation in the environment, which has been caused by new groups being established, many of those seeded by 501s who have brought a new level of sophistication, violence and international networks, and that has disrupted what was otherwise a reasonably settled landscape.
Okay, you say, so it's not through lack of trying. Do you have the legal tools? Would you like greater capacity in that sense to be able to go after gangs? Is there some gap in the law that would give you greater ability?
These things are ultimately a political balance that has to be struck. You could get very arbitrary on gangs and do some things that would be clearly at odds with the Bill of Rights. If Parliament wanted to do that, it could do that. The very hard question here is, when does a gang become a criminal group? And what are we prepared to tolerate in a free society to impact gangs? And those are ultimately questions for Parliament about how far they wish to go.
Police Commissioner Andrew Costa, thank you very much for your time.